Have you ever sat down with your examiner? All your charts spread out, your navigation log looking perfect, and then they ask you to show them the weight and balance, and suddenly your stomach drops because you spent 2 hours on the nav log and about 4 minutes on the loading calculation. I'm Pattern on Traffic Pattern, and this is Radio Hangar. Let's talk about the part of cross-country planning that nobody finds exciting but everybody gets wrong. Here's something I wish someone told me when I was training. The weight and balance is not paperwork. It is the calculation that tells you whether your airplane can actually fly the flight you just planned. And I mean fly it safely, within the envelope the engineers designed, not just get off the ground, but climb, maneuver, and land without running out of elevator authority. Shout out to our friends at aviationsoul.com. They make challenge coins for every step of the journey. Got your first solo? There's a coin for that. Private pilot, instrument, commercial, they've got you covered. Great way to mark the milestones that matter, aviationsoul.com. All right, let's walk through this together, because the weight and balance is one of those things that seems straightforward until you actually try to do it under pressure. There are two questions you're answering. First, is the airplane too heavy? Second, is the center of gravity in the right place? Most students remember the first question. It is the second one that catches people. Let's start with weight. Every airplane has a maximum gross takeoff weight. For a Cessna 172S model, that is 2,550 pounds. Sounds like a lot, right? Let's do the math on a real cross-country scenario. The empty weight of that airplane, depending on the specific serial number, is going to be somewhere around 1,700 pounds. You look that up in the specific weight and balance data for your airplane, not a generic number from a textbook. Every airplane is different because of installed equipment, paint, modifications, all of it. That number is in the aircraft records, and it changes every time someone adds or removes equipment. So you start at 1,700 pounds. You put yourself in the left seat. That is maybe 190 pounds. Your buddy riding right seat, 180. Two backpacks in the baggage area, call it 40 pounds. You are now at 2,110 pounds before you put a single drop of fuel in the tanks. The long-range tanks on that airplane hold 56 gallons. AVGAce weighs 6 pounds per gallon. Full fuel is 336 pounds. Add that up and you're at 2,446 pounds. You're under max gross barely, but you're legal. Now here's where it gets interesting. What if your passenger weighs 220 instead of 180? Now you're at 2,486. Still under the limit. But what if they brought a bigger bag? What if you tossed a case of oil back there? Suddenly you're flirting with 2550, and you have no margin at all. The airman certification standards for the private pilot check ride require you to demonstrate that you can compute weight and balance and determine that it falls within limits. The examiner is looking for the process. They want to see that you know where to find the numbers, that you use the right arms, and that you can plot the result on the envelope chart. But more than that, they want to see that you understand what happens when you get it wrong. So let's talk about center of gravity, because this is the part that actually kills people. Every weight you load into the airplane sits at a certain distance from a reference point called the datum. That distance is called the arm, measured in inches. When you multiply the weight times the arm, you get a moment. You add up all the moments and divide by the total weight, and you get the center of gravity location. That number has to fall between a forward limit and an aft limit that are published in your pilot's operating handbook. Here is why this matters in the real world. If the center of gravity is too far forward, the airplane is nose-heavy. You need more back pressure to flare for landing. In an extreme case, you might not have enough elevator authority to hold the nose up at slow speeds. That is bad on a short field landing. That is worse on a go-around when you're trying to climb. If the center of gravity is too far aft, you have the opposite problem, and it is more dangerous. The airplane becomes tail-heavy. It wants to pitch up. The controls feel light and responsive, which sounds nice, until you realize that light means twitchy, and twitchy means you can easily exceed the critical angle of attack without meaning to. An aft center of gravity airplane is harder to recover from a stall. In some cases, it may be impossible to recover. The elevator does not have enough authority to push the nose down. That is not a theoretical problem, that is a crash. Let me give you a scenario I have actually seen trip up students. You are planning a cross-country for your check ride. You, the examiner, and two bags. You do the weight and balance the night before. Everything is perfect. Center of gravity is right in the middle of the envelope. Then on check ride day, the examiner says, let us say you're taking a passenger who weighs 240 pounds and they want to sit in the back seat. Recalculate. Now that 240 pounds just moved from the front seat arm to the rear seat arm. The arm on a Cessna 172 rear seat is about 73 inches. The front seat is about 37 inches. You just doubled the moment contribution of that passenger. Your center of gravity slides aft. Maybe it slides outside the envelope, and now you have to tell the examiner that this flight cannot be made as planned. That is the right answer, by the way. The examiner wants to hear you say no. They want to see you recognize the problem and come up with a solution. Maybe you move some baggage forward. Maybe you carry less fuel. Maybe you tell the passenger they need to sit up front. But you do not just shrug and go fly. Now, here is a mistake I see all the time. Students use the sample weight and balance from the textbook or the generic numbers from an online calculator instead of the actual data for their specific airplane. Every individual airplane has a unique empty weight center of gravity. It is on a document in the aircraft records and it gets updated after any major maintenance or modification. If you use the wrong starting number, everything downstream is wrong. Your whole calculation is fiction. On your cross-country planning, you also need to think about how weight and balance changes during the flight. You burn fuel. Fuel comes out of the wing tanks. On most trainers, the fuel is close to the center of gravity, so burning fuel does not move the center of gravity very much. But on some airplanes, it moves significantly. And if you started near the aft limit with full fuel, burning fuel might actually push you further aft because the fuel was forward of the center of gravity. You need to check weight and balance at takeoff and at landing, or at least at the end of the flight when fuel is lowest. Let me give you a practical tip for check ride day. Build a simple table across the top. Right item, weight, arm, and moment. Down the side, list empty aircraft, front seat occupants, rear seat occupants, baggage, and fuel. Fill in each row. Add up the total weight and total moment. Divide to get the center of gravity. Then plot it on the envelope chart from your pilot's operating handbook. Do it neatly. Do it on paper. The examiner can see your work and your logic. If you just punch it into an app and show them a green check mark, they are going to ask you to do it by hand anyway. Know the process. The app is great for real-world flying, but the check ride is about proving you understand what the app is doing. One more thing that trips people up. Baggage compartment weight limits on the Cessna 172. The aft baggage area is limited to 120 pounds. You could be under max gross weight and inside the center of gravity envelope, but if you stuffed 150 pounds of gear behind the rear seat, you have exceeded a structural limit. That is a separate problem, and you need to check it separately. This applies to real flying too, not just check rides. I have seen pilots load 4 adults and full fuel into a 4-seat trainer and just go. They never ran the numbers. They assumed it would be fine because they have done it before, and maybe it was fine. Maybe the center of gravity was inside the envelope by an inch, but that inch is the difference between an airplane that handles normally and one that bites you during a stall in the traffic pattern. The weight and balance is your contract with physics. The airplane does not care whether you check the numbers. It will fly exactly according to where the weight actually is. Your job is to make sure you know where that is before you ever start the engine. So before your next cross country, before you even open the sectional chart, pull out the pilot's operating handbook for your airplane. Find the specific empty weight and moment from the aircraft records. Sit down and run the numbers for real. For who is actually flying? For how much fuel you are actually carrying? For what is actually in the baggage compartment? Plot it on the envelope. Check it at takeoff weight and at estimated landing weight. And if it does not fit, change the plan until it does. That is how you plan a cross country that the airplane can actually fly. Most of today's walkthrough comes straight from the Cessna 172S Pilot's Operating Handbook and the FAA's Weight and Balance Handbook, which is FAA document H-8083-1 Bravo. Both are worth having on your shelf. More training tips anytime at RadioHangar.com. Fly the numbers. I will see you next time.